Give me your heart, my son, and let your eyes delight in my ways. For a harlot is a deep pit, and an adulterous woman is a narrow well. Surely she lurks as a robber, and increases the faithless among men. Who has woe? Who has sorrow? Who has contentions? Who has complaining? Who has wounds without cause? Who has redness of eyes? Those who linger long over wine. Those who go to taste mixed wine. Do not look on the wine when it is red, when it sparkles in the cup, when it goes down smoothly. At the last, it bites like a serpent and stings like a viper. Your eyes will see strange things, and your mind will utter perverse things. And you will be like one who lies down in the middle of the sea, or like one who lies down on the top of a mast. They struck me, but I did not become ill. They beat me, but I did not know it. When shall I awake? I will seek another drink. You may be seated. Let's pray. Oh Lord, we thank you so much for your word this morning. Lord, we just ask that you would teach us. Lord, we pray that you would humble our hearts. Lord, that we would come before you this morning, humble, repentant, seeking to be taught by you. Lord, we don't have all the answers, but we know that you do. Lord, we just pray that you would be glorified, that we would grow closer and closer to you. We thank you for these words, these instructions of yours. We pray that you would teach us now, Lord, that we might grow in wisdom, that we might honor and obey you more and more. I pray also, Lord, just for the protection of your people, Lord, that you would protect them from my sin and my error, that your truth might shine forth. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this morning in Proverbs, we see once again the sinfulness of man. You see, God has given us so many good gifts, and yet, what does sinful man do with these good gifts? But we pervert them. We corrupt them. We use them, what is good, and we take it and we use it for evil. We use it to sin. And here in this text, we're warned of two of such sins: adultery and drunkenness. You see, God has given us sexual relationships. He's given us wine, two blessings from the Lord that are good and right, that are to be enjoyed in the context that God has set up. And so they're blessings to us when we use them as God has designed. And yet, what does sinful man do with these good gifts? We take what is good and we use it for evil. Having sexual relationships outside of the marriage covenant, and drinking wine in abundance. And these perversions and sins have many consequences, and certainly we'll see several of those today. And so, as we have this warning here this morning, do not commit adultery, do not get drunk with wine, do not delight in the ways of the world. Now, the general context throughout the book of Proverbs is a wise father teaching his son, teaching his children, the wisdom of God. And the goal in teaching them is that his son might know God, and walk in his ways. And so as parents, we have that same desire for our children. And so we see in the Proverbs, we recognize Proverbs are the perfect curriculum for raising and training our children, for admonishing them, teaching them who God is, His holiness, and encouraging them to walk in His ways. And yet, the book of Proverbs is not just a book for children. You know, as Andrew spoke of last week, the sinfulness of adult Christians. This is not a struggle. Foolishness and sin is not just a struggle for children, but we all struggle with sin. And so we all need the Proverbs. We need to know the Lord better. We need to be instructed and reminded of what is right and how He wants us to live. You see, Proverbs really tells us the truth about the lies we hear in the world. Romans 12:1-2, I urge you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. And so here in these verses this morning, we're admonished to guard our hearts from these two terribly destructive sins, the sin of adultery, the sin of drunkenness. Now, God hates all sin. All sin is wrong. All sin is bad for us. And so, what a blessing it is here to be warned of these two sins in particular. Because while they are very much destructive sins, they are also, unfortunately, two very common sins today. Common especially among young men. And so we have the warning. The title this morning is, Do Not Delight in the Ways of the World. Do not delight in the ways of the world. And those two main warnings are against adultery and drunkenness. So number one, do not commit adultery. Give me your heart, my son, and let your eyes delight in my ways. For a harlot is a deep pit, and an adulterous woman is a narrow well. Surely she lurks as a robber and increases the faithless among men. Now we already looked at verse 26, but I wanted to include it here in the reading, because it really helps give context for the rest of the chapter. You see, we have a father here pleading for the hearts of his children. He loves his children. He's discipling his children. He's teaching his children the ways of the Lord. And so his message here in 26 is really, trust the Lord and obey Him. Trust the Lord. Commit your heart to Him. And don't walk in your own ways, walk in His ways. Obey the Lord. But we also see here then the protection of a father. You see, a father realizes the sinful tendencies of his children. He realizes that those things that he's taught his children that are good and right, that even within them, at times, they will be tempted to do something different, to go their own way, to sin. But he also realizes that the world is out there telling his children lies, seeking to lead them astray. And so he wants to protect them with this warning. So this father is saying to his son, listen to me. Listen to me. I've taught you and trained you. I've told you what is right. Now let me teach you about what is wrong. Let me warn you about adultery and drunkenness. You see, a father knows that although he cares deeply for his son and for his heart, he knows that there are so many out there who don't. And they will seek to lead him astray. And so this is so important. A father warning and instructing his son, not only teaching him of what is right, but warning him of what is wrong and the temptations that will come. Because certainly we will all experience those in our lives who have come and who have said, Oh no, what your father taught you, that's old-fashioned. That's not what's good and right. He was wrong. There's something better. There's something more enjoyable. You don't want to go that way. You want to go this way. And leading others astray. Those who would deceive your son and lead him astray. Fools who indulge in the flesh, who delight in the ways of the world and encourage others to do the same. And so the father here is telling his son, I want to tell you the truth about the harlot. I want to tell you the truth about drunkenness. You need to be warned because the world will lie to you. You see, the world is going to tell you that the harlot is enjoyable. The harlot is good. The harlot is a wonderful thing. You see, the world is going to tell you that the most enjoyable sexual relationships you'll ever have are those outside of marriage. That's their message. It's loud and clear. And so here, a father is warning his son. I'm going to warn you about those lies. The world is going to lie to you. I'm going to tell you the truth about the harlot. Her way is the wrong way. Her way is the wrong way. Guard your heart from her. We see terms in verse 27, a deep pit, a narrow well. This is referring to the unavoidable doom that fornication and adultery bring. You see, it's a trap. You can't escape. It's a deep pit. It's not a shallow pit that you can just step right out of. You see, don't be naive and think that adultery is just some sin that you can just indulge in, and then when you're done, well, you can just leave and go on with your life, and everything will just go on as if nothing ever happened. Don't be naive. It's a trap. It's a trap. It will destroy you. Even when you repent, if you fall into this sin and you repent and you end this sinful relationship as you should, even then, there are still consequences. The consequences of adultery are real and lasting, and you cannot avoid them. You cannot escape. It's as if you're stuck in a pit and you can't get out of it. And there are terrible, terrible consequences to committing adultery. I want to look back in Proverbs, starting in chapter 5, and just read to you a few of these consequences of committing adultery. I'll start in Proverbs 5, verse 8. It says, keep your way far from her, and do not go near the door of her house, lest you give your vigor to others and your years to the cruel one, lest strangers be filled with your strength and your hard-earned goods go to the house of an alien. And then on in chapter 6 of Proverbs, starting in verse 26, for on account of a harlot one is reduced to a loaf of bread, and an adulteress hunts for the precious life. Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Or can a man walk on hot coals and his feet not be scorched? So is the one who goes in to his neighbor's wife. Whoever touches her will not go unpunished. Men do not despise a thief if he steals to satisfy himself when he is hungry. But when he is found, he must repay sevenfold. He must give all the substance of his house. The one who commits adultery with a woman is lacking sense. He who would destroy himself does it. Wounds and disgrace he will find, and his reproach will not be blotted out. For jealousy enrages a man, and he will not spare in the day of vengeance. He will not accept any ransom, nor will he be content, though you give many gifts. And then two verses in chapter 7, verse 22 and 23. Suddenly he follows her, as an ox goes to the slaughter, or as one in fetters to the discipline of a fool, until an arrow pierces through his liver, as a bird hastens to the snare. So he does not know that it will cost him his life. So we see here some of these unavoidable consequences that adultery brings. We see here it can ruin you financially. Certainly it will damage and ruin your reputation. It will hurt all your relationships. Those relationships that mean the most to you. It can even, you'll even be at risk of physical harm brought on by her jealous husband. And these are just some of them that are mentioned. There are so many more consequences to committing adultery. So the point of verse 27 is that adultery is a trap. It is a horrible trap. And it has consequences that you cannot escape from. You cannot take fire in your bosom and your clothes not be burned. Then in 28, surely she lurks as a robber. Here in verse 28, we see the evil intent of the adulterous woman. You see, she's not an innocent victim. This isn't an accident. She is an initiator of evil. She is the hunter setting her traps. She is the robber looking for someone to attack. Proverbs 7:21 makes her motives and intentions very clear. It says here, "With her many persuasions, she entices him. With her flattering lips, she seduces him." Without question, the harlot has evil intent. She is purposely enticing and seducing men, lurking and looking for her next victim. So her motives are evil. And then we see that her sin multiplies. She's not only in sin herself, but the very nature of her sin is inviting others to sin with her. She increases the faithless among men. You see, she's taking those husbands who have been faithful to this point with their wives, and she leads them to defile the marriage bed. She leads men to be unfaithful to their God and to their wife. She ruins them. She increases the faithless among men. You see, it's bad enough to sin in any way, to reject God's way and to go your own sinful way. But the adulteress is even worse, because she's trying her best to bring others along with her, leading others astray, inviting others to partake with her in her sin, purposely tempting them and luring them to indulge in sin. And this is exactly what we are warned against in this passage. Do not share her sin with her. Do not partake. Do not commit adultery. You see, although it's very clear here that it is sin for her to entice you and set these traps, if you will, but understand it is still sin for you to fall into them. You are not an innocent victim here either. We must be on guard. We must be on guard. So in these few verses we've seen how committing adultery will bring unavoidable consequences. We've seen the evil intentions of the adulterous woman, and we've seen how her sins multiply as she leads others astray, and they sin with her. And the main point is to guard your heart. Guard your heart. Don't commit adultery. Do not delight in the ways of the world. You see, the world again, the world is going to tell you a completely different story. The world has something to say about adultery, and it isn't what we just read. Don't listen to them. It's a lie. It's a lie. Do not delight in the ways of the world. But it's important also that we remember the heart issue here. Listen, if we are entertaining lustful thoughts, if we're looking at pornography, not only are we already guilty of sin, but our defenses are weakened as well. You're an easy target. We must show restraint against these temptations. Not only the physical temptations. We must show restraint in our heart. We must guard against letting our mind go places it shouldn't, dwelling on things we shouldn't. This is very important. It's a grave mistake to think that we can guard ourselves against the adulterous woman without guarding ourselves against the sinful lusts of our heart. We must guard our hearts. We must guard our hearts. So in guarding against the temptations of a harlot, we must be quick to repent of the lusts of our own heart and ask God to protect us, that He might keep us faithful. Now I realize here that the wording is warning men of seductive women. And certainly that is the case almost everywhere in Scripture that you see the warning of adultery. It's almost always warning men not to fall into this trap. It's warning the man of the seductive woman, not the other way around. Now, I believe this is because in general, men are more susceptible to fall into this sin. And yet, it's the truth either way. This message is every bit for you women as well. Because there are so many men out there who are trying to seduce women, who are leading them astray, trying to lead them into this same sin of adultery. So this warning here is every bit for you women as well. We must all guard our heart and not indulge in sexual sins. Do not commit adultery. Do not delight in the ways of the world. Then our second warning here, number two, is do not get drunk with wine. Verse 29 through 35, who has woe? Who has sorrow? Who has contentions? Who has complaining? Excuse me. Who has wounds without cause? Who has redness of eyes? Those who linger long over wine. Those who go to taste mixed wine. Do not look on the wine when it is red, when it sparkles in the cup, when it goes down smoothly. At the last, it bites like a serpent and stings like a viper. Your eyes will see strange things, and your mind will utter perverse things. And you will be like one who lies down in the middle of the sea, or like one who lies down on the top of a mast. They struck me, but I did not become ill. They beat me, but I did not know it. When shall I awake? I will seek another drink. Alcohol is another area that the world will lie to you. The world is going to tell you that you just can't have a good time without alcohol. I mean, it just makes any and every gathering better. You just can't have an enjoyable get-together without alcohol. The world really glamorizes drunkenness. It's terrible. But fools will speak of the last time they got drunk as this fond memory that they hope to repeat soon. Getting drunk is just this wonderful thing, is the message the world sends. But we have here in this passage the truth about drunkenness. Do not get drunk with wine. Do not delight in the ways of the world. Just a few verses back, we were warned of drunkenness along with being gluttons. But there we were warned of being around those who would drink too much and eat too much. And yet here the warning is much more direct and with much explanation. And so we see here in verse 29 and 30, we see these consequences of getting drunk. They're given to us in question form, but they're all really statements. Statements about what getting drunk really brings you. What does it really bring you? It brings you troubles. Brings you misery. Brings you heartache and sorrow, sadness, depression. It mentions here contentions and complaining. You see, getting drunk will make you argumentative. You'll complain about things that if you were sober, you never would have. And you'll argue and you'll fight about things that if you were sober, you wouldn't. And so we see here how it affects you. It's not a good consequence. These are not good results here. Certainly these quarrels and contentions not only hurt others, but they will hurt you as well. It says, speaking of the drunk, that he is wounded without cause. You see, there is no purpose here. For what reason? There is no good reason. It's pointless. His eyes are red. Drinking too much alcohol is not healthy for you. And it shows. Your eyes are red. It takes a toll on your body. No matter what the world tells you, the drunk is not happy or healthy. So we see here all these needless torments and pain that it puts you through. All these negative consequences that the drunk brings upon himself when he lingers long over wine. You see, the reality isn't so glamorous after all, is it? Getting drunk does not bring joy and gladness, blessings and prosperity, but rather the opposite. Brings pain and torment, brings curses and poverty. Then we see the attractions. Verse 31 shows us some of these attractions of wine. What makes it so tempting? Well, first of all, it has eye appeal. Speaks of it being red and it sparkles in the cup. You know, it looks like it would taste good. And so there's an attraction there. It looks good. And then we see, not only does it look good, but it does taste good. It goes down smoothly. Now, there are many other temptations, many other attractions why people would drink. And I think of young people, because young people as they grow up, this is a big temptation. And some of the other attractions are that, well, everyone around me is doing this. Everyone around me is drinking. And so that can be an attraction as well. Or maybe it's attractive to you because it makes you feel like a grown-up, because this is an adult beverage. And so it makes you feel all grown up or something. But listen, the whole point here, no matter what may attract you to drinking, we're instructed here to fight off those temptations. Don't look on the wine when it is red. Don't be tempted. Why? Why not be tempted? Because too much will poison you. You see, it may look good. It may taste good. But it will not end good. Verse 32, at the last, it bites like a serpent and stings like a viper. Those who linger long over wine are poisoning themselves. It's not just poisoning their body, but it's poisoning their mind. Verse 33, your eyes will see strange things and your mind will utter perverse things. You see, too much alcohol alters your perspective on everything. You don't view things the way they really are. You're poisoned. It isn't that everything around you has changed. It's that you've changed. Your mind is altered. This poison is affecting and controlling what you do and say, so that the things that you would normally never do, because you know better, you do without hesitation. And so we see here that drunkenness multiplies your sin. It's as if you're out of your mind. You're not in control of yourself. And so you sin more. There's no restraint. But not only does this poison control you and multiply your sins, it makes you completely senseless and fearless. 34, and you will be like one who lies down in the middle of the sea, or like one who lies down on the top of a mast. Do you see how senseless, how out of control a drunk person is? A drunkard does things that not only don't make sense, but they are so foolishly dangerous. He could die or suffer serious harm from the foolish decisions that he makes while intoxicated. The poison of alcohol will cloud your judgment, to say the least. You won't be careful. You won't show respect for the things that could harm you. And then we see at the beginning of verse 35 how it dulls your senses. They struck me, but I did not become ill. They beat me, but I did not know it. Now, getting in a fight is certainly not uncommon for a drunk man. But we see here that this poison affects everything. It can put you into such a drunken stupor and dull all your senses to the point that you don't even feel pain. Again, it isn't that the drunk isn't hurt. He is. He just doesn't know it yet. He just hasn't felt it yet. He doesn't feel the pain. At least, not until he sobers up. But then, we see that when he does sober up, he hasn't learned anything. He hasn't learned anything. When shall I awake? I will seek another drink. I don't think this awake here is speaking of waking up from sleep. This is more speaking of sobering up from being intoxicated. And so here, the drunk sobers up, and he begins to feel his throbbing headache, and he may see his black eye and his fat lip in the mirror, and he hears all the stories of what his friends told him, all the foolish things he did the night before. But he doesn't repent. He doesn't think twice next time. No. He says, "Where's another bottle?" He wants another drink. You see, some sins are more addicting than others. We see here what a miserable cycle of sin and self-destruction the drunkard is in. Even when he's sober, he just wants another drink. So in conclusion, God's given us many blessings in life, many good things that He wants us to enjoy, He wants us to benefit from. And yet, what does sinful man do? We use those blessings for evil. We misuse and abuse God's gifts so that instead of them being a blessing in our lives, we bring curses and judgment upon ourselves. We've been warned today, do not delight in the ways of the world. Specifically, do not commit adultery and do not get drunk with wine. Here we've seen the truth of these sins from Scripture. They are horrible. They are destructive. May God help us to guard our hearts. May He protect us from these temptations, that our eyes would delight in His ways, not in the ways of the world. I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Brothers and sisters, our life is not our own. Our body is not our own. Do not delight in the ways of the world. You know, different sins are tempting for different people. But whatever sins are tempting to you, fight it. Fight it. We are to be holy, for He is holy. If you're in Christ, you've been bought with a price. You are not your own. Delight in His ways. Don't delight in the ways of the world. The world's lies are going to continue. They're going to be told to your children. There will be those seeking to lead them astray. Guard your hearts. Guard your heart. Let's pray. Oh Lord. Lord, we recognize that we are sinners. Lord, we recognize that even though You've told us what's right, even though we've been taught and trained and we understand what is foolish and what is wise, and yet, Lord, we recognize that we still have these sinful desires within us. Lord, we recognize that there are so many temptations in this world, not just adultery, not just drunkenness. Lord, we recognize our need of You. Lord, apart from You, we're hopeless. Apart from You, Lord, we will seek to indulge in the flesh and destroy ourselves and those around us. But by your grace, Lord, we can see the truth in your word. We can repent of our sins. Lord, we thank you so much for the work that you do in us. We thank you so much, Lord, for the protection that you give us. For, Lord, we recognize that so many sins we would have fallen into if we'd had the opportunity. And so we thank you so much for your protection. And, Lord, we pray specifically on these two issues, Lord. I just ask, Lord, that you would protect us. Lord, that we would seek to guard our hearts. Lord, that you would protect us from adultery and drunkenness. Lord, that you would also convict us of other sins that are tempting us. Lord, that we would guard our hearts. Lord, that we would be pure and holy, which is only possible through Jesus Christ. Lord, that we would cling to you, that we would not be conformed to the ways of this world, but that we would renew our mind. Lord, we just thank you so much for your word, for the truth that you have given us. And we pray that you might work out this wisdom and this truth in our lives for our good and for your glory. We thank you, Lord, for loving us and teaching us. In Jesus' name, amen.